Okay, so yesterday we started the sugya at the end of kasher zamen below kasher asa, and the way we're organizing the topic is that I didn't have time to really speak about this yesterday because we're a little short in time. But the way we're organizing the topic is that we're first going to speak about the scope of the din, right, the machloksim amongst the rishonim and the mafarshim about to which onshin, right, the pitur applies. And then after we, you know, map that out, we'll then go to the different factors which might explain why it is that some mafarshim think it's limited, why other mafarshim think it's more expanded. And we'll get to, you know, discussion about what exactly is makor, what's the tam of the din, what's the nature of the din. We'll get to all those after it. So first we're starting with, the scope, and then we'll get to the different factors which might, account for why it is that the patur is either expansive or not. Right, so again, we started with what is the onish that everyone is going to agree that the patur of kasher asa applies to? Misa. Exactly. That's clear from the Mishnah, it's clear from the Brisa, it's clear from the Gemara. Exactly. That everyone's going to agree that the patur of kasher asa is going to apply to the realm of Misa. But, we're going to see, it's not clear that it applies to any other onshin. So what was the next onish that we started discussing? Malkus. Right, so yesterday we saw the Rambam and the Be'iri, who say that the patur of kasher asa does not apply to the realm of malchus, right? And today we're going to start with the mefarshim who say it does apply to malchus. So the earliest makor for the to think that the patur of kasher asa does apply to malchus actually comes from an early rishon, but who doesn't explicitly talk about this issue.
The rabbi.
Okay, before the Ravid comes the Rabbeinu Chananel. So it's going to come out of the Rach's very important interpretation of the Shach of Retaria, which can have major implications. Save it for you. The major implications. So even though the Rach doesn't explicitly talk about whether, Kasher Asa applies to Malkus, it's going to emerge from his parish of the Gemara. So which one of the Gemara is the Rach dealing with? Exactly. So it's very, very important. So everyone go to the line in the Gemara of Chavi Malkius Minayin. So the big question is a little bit of a non sequitur. It seems to be coming out of nowhere. But it's very important to appreciate what is the Gemara talking about right before it asks this question, Yitzhak? Exactly. The issue of Ein Onshin Min Adin. Right? Explaining how do we know, what is the makor for Ein Onshin Min Adin and Mazir Min Adin, right, in the realm of Misa. But right before it does that, how did the Gemara get into Ein Onshin Min Adin? Because what did the Brisa originally say? Exactly. Right. The Brisa seemed to say that the basis of the Ptur of Kasher Asa is the fact of Ein Onshin Min Adin. Okay, the Gemara asks, if you're going to be manish, Edom Zomim, when lo hargu, then kol shekein, when it's hargu, answer is Ein Onshin Min Adin. So right after having that whole discussion of Ein Onshin Min Adin connected to the patur of kasher asa, and then says Chavi Malkius Minayin, and then Chavi Galios Minayin. So before appreciating what the Rach is saying, what's the contrast? Who explains? What do Rashi and Tosas explain this question is going on? The Gemara then, right? Rashi doesn't say it goes all the way back to the Mishnah's din of that, right? The din Azama only applies when you have Gemara din. That seems to be Shiloh Kepashtus, and we'll see the implications in a moment. But the Rach seems to interpret the Gemara Kepashtus. Right, if you look at the Rach, right, Tiro Mas Lachim Bechavi Malkius, you still go for it. He sticks in there. So what does the Rach interpret this question, and thereby the Gezeirah Shavah is going on? Exactly. This idea of extending the din of Ein Onshin and Ein Mazir Min Adin from the realm of Misa to the realm of Malkus. So given the context of the Gemara, what is the implication, Yitzchak? When the Rach says that the din of Ein Onshin Min Adin extends from Misa to Malkus, what does it seem like the Rach is thereby carrying over? Exactly. So it comes out of the Rach that the Rach is also carrying over the patur of kasher asa from the realm of Misa to the realm of Malkus. And that's where I understand. It's like, oh yeah, this whole previous discussion of Enon Hushim and Adin, which the Gemara said was the basis of the Torah of Kasher Asa, that is not limited to the realm of Misa. That all extends over to the realm of Malkus. Yeah.
Why was Enon Hushim and Adin the basis of the Torah of Kasher Asa? Meaning, even if you don't hold that, then it's a Kavah Chomer versus Zeres Akasa.
So we'll get to that Nekuda exactly when we discuss the Mekoros, but it's a good Ha'ara. But according to some, the basis of not extending the din hazama, right, to the nidon, to the case of kasher asa, is based on enon shemin adin. We'll get to what it means. Isn't there xeres akasav? Well, we'll get to that when we discuss more in depth what exactly is the makor. But suffice for now, according to many, right, the basis of the din of kasher, the patur of kasher asa, is enon shemin adin. Once you extend the enon shemin adin to Malkus, you're thereby extending also the din of the patur of kasher asa, also the realm of Malkus. Oh, good. So, right, so the Rach, again, by explaining this question of the Gemara of Chavi Malkius Minayin and Chavi Galios Minayin as going on Enon Shemin Adin, it seems to come out that he thinks that the patur of kasher asa also extends to those contexts. And, right, along these lines, right, the Meiri says, right, because again, obviously the Rambam and Yad HaChazaka, it's not the parish on the Gemara, but the Meiri says that the Rambam must interpret the Gemara in what way?
That the Rambam?
Yeah, it's around the Rambam who holds that the Patur of Kasher Asa, right, does not apply to Malkus. So how, says the Meiri, how must the Rambam interpret this question of Chavi Malkius Minayin?
That's what I'm talking about for then.
Exactly. Right, so the Meiri says, if you hold like the Rambam, that the Patur of Kasher Asa is limited to Misa, so then the Rambam, right, must thereby interpret the Gemara's question, Chavi Malkius Minayin, as not talking about the issue of Enon Shemin Adin, and thereby the issue of the Patur of Kasher Asa, because he thinks that that doesn't apply to Malkus. So, says the Meiri, it must be that the Rambam is going to interpret this question like Rashi and Tosfos, and it's going back on the Gemara Din. The flip of that, the Gvur, I didn't assign this, but the Gvur Sari, again, on the Daf, says, right, along the same lines, the fact that Rashi, he talks about Rashi, but seemingly Tosos, the fact that Rashi and Tosos interpret the Gemara's question as going back on Gemara Din, what is the implication?
Rashi is one of the sources being the Kavah Chomer.
Exactly, and therefore the Rashi agrees with the Rambam, right, that the Patur of Kasher Asa, right, is based on Enon Shemin Adin, and thereby would not, right, does not apply to Malkus. And therefore, same reason why the Meiri said the Rambam, who doesn't extend Kasher Asa to Malkus, must interpret the Gemara's question as going back on Gemara Din, work the other way, Gevurah Sari says, give me a Medayik in Rashi, we can add Tosos, who specifically don't learn the Gemara like the Rach, rather say it's going back on the Gemara Din, must be that they agree with the Rambam that the Patur of Kasher Asa doesn't extend to Malkus, and therefore he said they can't understand the Gemara as referring to Enon Shemin Adin, because then that would imply that the Patur of Kasher Asa would extend to Malkus, but they agree with the Rambam. Yeah, correct. I guess because it's Shaloka Pashas, I guess that's really the basis of the Tia. Right? Because you're like, oh, there are two reads of the Gemara. The real basis is that it's meaning the Rach seems to be much more of a Pasha read of the Gemara. Because that is what the Gemara, meaning Enon Shemin Adin has been the subject for the past 10 lines. The fact that Rashi and Tosos have to go out of their way to learn the Gemara Shaloka Pashas, it seems like there must be something motivating them. And that's really where it's coming from. So it must be, at least according to the Gemara, what is motivating them? What must be motivating them is the fact that they don't extend the Patur of Kasher Asa to Malkus, and therefore they don't want to. Therefore, they say, oh, it must be the subject, this line, is going back on the Gemara Din. That's really where it's coming from.
What do you mean by going back on the Gemara Din?
Meaning, the Gemara, up for the past 15 lines, right, is not talking about Gemara Din. Right. So understand when the Gemara says, oh, Chavi Malkus Minayin, as going back on the Mishnah's opening line of Gemara Din, right, is not the most Pashut read. Mm. The Rach seems to be much more Pashut read. Mm. So the fact that Rashi and Tosos go Shaloka Pashtus seems like there must be something motivating them. Says the Gevurah Sari, what's motivating them is that they learn like the Rambam. They learn like the Rambam that the Patur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Malkus, and therefore they say, don't think that the subject of Chavi Malkus Minayin is Enon Shemin Adin, and, you know, and thereby the Patur of Kasher Asa, it doesn't apply to Malkus. Therefore, oh, it must be going back on Gemara Din. That's really the.
In the Gvuras, there he says that must be the Rashi and Tosfos.
The Rashi, like the Rambam. Exactly. The Rashi and Tosfos must hold like the Rambam, exactly, because of that Cheshbon. Yeah.
Would it really be so odd though for the Gemara to? I mean, Gemaras all the time, I think, ask questions without prefacing them at all, going back on a previous separate section of the Mishnah or whatever.
Sometimes when there's like a big gap, the Gemara will actually quote a couple lines from the Mishnah. That does happen.
It's not that big of a jump.
Okay, but at the very least, do you agree that the Rachs understand that Gemara is more pashut, given that was the subject immediately prior?
Slightly, but I don't think it's not pashut to say like Rashi.
Okay, I think it's more pashut to say like the Rachs. Therefore, you're saying it's completely open. It's completely open, and there's no deer. If you think that the Rashi tells us a shalok kapashtus, then there has to be something motivating them to do shalom kapashas. Yeah. That's really, yeah.
When the Gemara asked Ezra and Benayin, what's it trying to do with that question?
I think stop. Just I think that's all. I think it's all one price. It's all one price. It's one price. It's all one price. Same price, which establishes Einon Shemin Adin. Also asks, what's the makor for a mazir min adin?
That price though doesn't talk about.
The end of the Brisa is when it says Holy Manata Shein Mazir Min Adin. That's the end of the Brisa. Now it's the Gemara talking about Chavi Malkius Minai. Yeah. Okay, good. All right. The first Makor that the Petur of Kasher Asa does apply to Malkus is the Rach's read, is the Rach's parish on the Gemara. Fine. Who else seems to hold, again, not explicit, but who else, Mary, you said this before, who else seems to hold that the Petur of Kasher Asa does extend to Malkus?
Ravid.
The Ravid. Right, so again, it's not explicit as we'll see, but if you look at the Ravid, again, in Chav Beis, anyone have the Rambam out? Right, so the Ravid is clearly arguing on the Rambam, but based on the Dira Maskel of the Ravid, it's not 100% clear which line in the Rambam he's arguing with. Right, so after the Rambam presents the Petur of Kasher Asa by Misa, then he says there's no Petur of Kasher Asa by Malkus. Comes along the Ravid. You see it in the top?
Yeah.
Read the Dior Maskel. Then he says V'chule, right? So he says Nerag Zeh She'idu Lav, which is the Petur of Kasher Asa by Misa. Then he says V'chule. What does Shibush mean? It's more like a mistake. Right? It's a mistake. Right? This is a mistake. So the question is, right, if you didn't know anything, based on the Dira Maskel, what does it sound, which line of thumb does it sound like it's going on?
The
Ner. But the problem is that no one argues on that. You can't call that a Shibush. That's a Mefurish Mishnah and Brisa. So what do the Nosa Kalim interpret the line is going on? On the second line. So we'll see both the Kesa Mishnah and the Radvaz say this Hasaga of the Ravid can't be going on the Rambam's first line, that there's a Petur of Kasher Asa by Misa, because that's Pashat. So it must be that the Ravid is arguing on the Rambam's, right, the Rambam Shita that says that there's no Petur of Kasher Asa by Malkus, comes along the Ravid and says, why not? Right? Because there's, at face value, at first glance, it doesn't seem to be a reason to be Mechalik. And therefore, as interpreted by the Kesa Mishnah and the Radvaz, they think that the Ravid is arguing on the Rambam, saying, no, the Petur of Kasher Asa not only applies to Misa, it also applies to Malkus in line with the Rach. So let's just see this inside. See the Kesa Mishnah, which we'll come back to later. You see, anyone have it? You see when it says, O Kasav Sham?
The old
Kasav
Sham
in Kamakam
in
Svar Lachalik. Right, that Misvara, right, there's no reason to Michalik between Misa and Malkus. Whatever.
Okay, Bashem Rashi, Bakanira, Shalazet, Kivan Arrived, the Kasav Shiva Shuzeh, the Afapi, Shatavas, Benaragze, Shahido Love.
I see. It's right. So you say maybe he's saying this seems to be Pshat on the Ravid. Pshat on the Ravid is that the Ravid seems to be arguing with the Rambam's right Shita that the Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Malkus, and he says even though the Dira Maskel starts at the beginning, says that she just quotes the beginning, and it's really the emphasis on the V'chule, the emphasis is not on the Misa, but really on the Malkus. So the Kesef Mishnah clearly says that, and the Radvaz also, after asking the question of the Rambam, saying, well, what's the basis of the Rambam's chiluk, he also says, oh, and Luzet basically, this is Pshat in the Ravid, right, in line with the Havamina, the question, basically, why to be Mechalik? So again, we have the Rach, who extends, I'm going to go further back, so in terms of Malkus, to sum up, we have the Rambam and the Meiri who say Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Malkus, and you have the Rach and the Ravid who say the Pater of Kasher Asa does apply to Malkus, just like applies to Misa. So, yeah.
Okay. But if Rabbi Yerucham is saying B'Shem Rashi, what does that mean then?
Yeah, against the Dira, yeah, exactly. That would be against the Dira before. 100%. Yeah. I'm assuming he's referring to the fact that the Rashi's, the Makor of Rashi that's coming from Kasher Asa. Kasher Zemel or Kasher Asa.
You still learn that doesn't apply at home.
What?
You still learn.
You mean Malkus?
Sorry, or also. I mean,
you
could also say Malkus. You could say the drash of Kasher Zemel or Kasher Asa is only going on certain.
Yes, we have to explain why.
Yeah, it's not like left, you know.
Yeah, okay, but we'll get exactly. I'm saying, when he's quoting Rashi, I don't think he's dealing with the Rashi. I don't think he's talking about the Rashi that we discussed before. I'm assuming he's coming off another Rashi. Obviously, he assumes there's not a problem with that, you know, obviously. But I'm just, 100%. 100%. That's it's important to point out, right, in context, right, in contrast to, right, the Shagas Aryeh, right, Gevurah Sarih was written by the Shagas Aryeh, right, in contrast to the Gevurah Sarih's Diyuk and Rashi, right, obviously the Kesef Mishnah, or the, who are we quoting here? Rabbi Yerucham, right, disagrees. Okay, good. Adkan, the discussion of Malkus. So we've discussed Misa, Pashut, Malkus, Machlokes, and now what's the next realm to discuss? Mammon. So we're going to see Mammon is also going to be a Machlokes, but there's going to be a little more nuance within Mammon. Okay? So, again, the Kudda number one is that Mammon is similarly not referenced explicitly by the Mishnah or the Braisa or even the Gemara really at all. So it's really an open question from the primary sources of Kasher Asa whether the Petur of Kasher Asa is going to apply to Mammon or not. So we're going to see that most Mepharshim are going to say that the Petur of Kasher Asa does not apply to Mammon. But within this camp, that the Petur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Mammon, there's going to be a subdivision for why, right? What are the basic options? So that Nakuda is saying that it doesn't apply because you don't have a case of Kasher Asa. Right, so again, we'll call it option 1A. Right, again, the first camp is that Petur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply. Option 1A is that it doesn't apply because there's no case of Kasher Asa. Right, we'll see. Option 1B is going to be that, no, let me do it, whether there be a case or not, that the Petur doesn't apply. So option 1A is that there's no case of Kasher Asa. Option 1B is going to be, no, the Petur fundamentally doesn't apply. According to option 1A, there's no case of Kasher Asa. The implication is that fundamentally, the Petur should carry over. It's just that practically, there's no case of Kasher Asa for it to be implemented. It's very important. Option 1B is that, fundamentally, the Petur doesn't apply. So again, two different reasons for why, practically speaking, there's no Petur of Kasher Asa. 1A is that there's no case of Kasher Asa. Option 1B is that fundamentally, the Petur doesn't apply. So let's see the Rishonim. Before we get to our hand.
Okay. And that's the question. That's the reason why it wouldn't apply.
Yeah, the question is why don't you have Lamaisa? Why don't you have the Petur? Is it because there's no case of Kasher Asa? We'll get to the details in a moment. Or is it because fundamentally the Petur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply? You'll see what we mean in a moment. So in terms of option 1A, that there's no case of Kasher Asa, what's the earliest source of this? Tosos where? And Baba Kama. Right? Anyone have a Baba Kama out? So this comes up in Tosas Baba Kama, Dalet Amud Beis, Dira Maaseh the Edim Zomim, random place, but it comes with the different Avos Nezikin, right, according to one the version of Rav Chiya, right, Edim Zomim is on the list. So, you have it? Go for it. Akiva. Oh, that's the key. Why isn't the Petur Shayach, practically speaking?
The second reason is there's no case of Kasher Asa.
Exactly. If Kasher Asa says Tosos, the implication is there's a certain finality to it, a certain permanence to it. Oh, it's done. Kasher Asa, what's done is done. There's no permanence in the realm of Mammon because it's efsher b'chazar. I don't want to say it's always yet, because mamon is efsher b'chazar. So first you have the Riva in Tosfos Bava Kamma saying that technically, you know, the Torah doesn't extend to mamon because there's no case of kasher asa. Good. Who else? What other Rishon seems to hold this way? That it practically doesn't apply because it's efsher b'chazara. Excellent, the Rambam. And Reb Chaim spells this out. But the Rambam, right, we read the Rambam, the first, right, first case of the Rambam is Nisa. Second case is Malkus. And the third case is Mamon. Do you have it, Yoshua? Yeah, B'chaim. Oh, right. Right, when he says that, oh, there was a tashlumin, why does he justify there being?
You're able to get those.
Exactly. First, it's chozer lebalav. First, the money is returned, and then umishamelo. Once the money is returned, and it's no longer asa. That's why the edim zomim become chayim. Right. So the Rambam, as interpreted by Reb Chaim, right, Reb Chaim spells this out. That right, Reb Chaim adds right the nekuda that according to the Rambam, that fundamentally. Right, the Ptur of Kasher Asa should apply to Mamon. It just technically doesn't because the case is not Kasher Asa. That's why the way Reb Chaim frames the Rambam is that what ends up, on a fundamental level in the Rambam, what ends up being the only exception to Kasher Asa? Only what?
Mamon's.
No. What is the only one that doesn't have the fundamental Ptur of Kasher Asa? Malkus. That's why Reb Chaim's whole piece is going to have to explain why Malkus is fundamentally different than Mamon and Nisa. Because once Reb Chaim interprets the Rambam, and it seems to be Pshat in the Rambam, once you interpret the Rambam, that the only reason why there's no Petur of Kasher Asa is because it's Efshar B'Chazara, so that means that fundamentally it should apply to Mamon, it just technically doesn't because there's no case. But Lu Yitzriya, you could have a case of Kasher Asa, right? Then the Petur would apply to Mamon. So again, that analysis applies both to the Riva and to the Rambam, that fundamentally they're willing to apply the Ptur. It's just technically, there's no case of Kasher Asa.
Couldn't also be that the Rambam is just describing the case and not actually, that's not like the reason why this, you know, he's not saying it's because of the Malkus, but he's just saying that if after he already paid, then they become Zomim, so they just give the money back and the Zomim have to pay. Not that necessarily that's the driving force.
Yes. So I hear the Ha'ara. I would say my only retort would be, so then maybe the Rambam should have separated it and said, "V'chein em yatsa mamon miyadzeh, you know, liyadzeh be'edusan, ha'edim zomim chayim l'shalim lo." And by the way, you know, the money also has to be returned. The fact that the Rambam
he just does that in the reverse order.
that's the point. I mean, the fact that he says chozer lebalav, I think where Chaim is coming from.
Chozer lebalav is the
and therefore m'shalim lo. Or again, because remember, if the focus of the halacha is there a Petur of Kasher Asa, so then first focus on, say, by Mamon, right, there is no Kasher Asa. Sorry, there is no Kasher Asa fundamentally. Oh, and by the way, there's also this thing, the money has to be returned because once we don't trust the Edim Zomim, the Mela, you know, the money has to be returned. The fact that he first says Chozel Balav and then Mishal Melo sounds like that's part of the Siba. I think that's where Reb Chaim is coming from.
Could you ask one more time? What 1A is this, that fundamentally works?
No, is that technically there's no case of Kasher Asa. Fundamentally, the Ptur should apply. It's just there's no case of Kasher Asa because technically the money could always come back. So it's not, there's no finality, there's no permanence. And the Kasher Asa is all about permanence, according to this Malach. 1B, as we'll see, is that no, fundamentally the Ptur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Mamon. Okay. And we'll get to the reason. But an important nekuda within this, right, we're calling 1A, that there's no case of Kasher Asa because Efshar B'Chazara, the question is going to be, what is the scope of Kasher Asa? Sorry, scratch that. What is the scope of Efshar B'Chazara? Namely, does that apply to all cases? Let's say, could you come up with a case where let's say it's Efshar B'Chazara? Does that mean we're going to have, does that mean in that case, right, the Ptur is going to apply? So, later Achronim discuss this type of issue. Let's say you come up with certain cases where it's Efshar B'Chazara. So, what is this approach 1A going to say in that case? Is the Ptur going to apply in that case? So, what are the Achronim would discuss this? Exactly, Rishash is the first one. Go. Okay, so the Rosh Hash exactly discusses this. Eitan, would you mind? See the second line of the Rosh Hash, Lefizeh. So again, before we start, and again now, once the Riva and the Rambam hold that the reason why there's no Ptur is because Efshar B'Chazara, so now the question is, what is the scope of Efshar B'Chazara? Are there any cases where we're going to say, by moment, oh, since it's Efshar B'Chazara, the Ptur of Kasher Asa is going to apply. So let's see what the Rosh Hash first has to say about this. So what are the first two cases? So what are the first two potential cases of Efshar B'Chazara? Exactly right. The Nidon, right, or right, the person who ended up right getting the money, right. Let's say in this case the fake Malva, right, who's supposedly the Malva. Therefore, he got $100. He left. Either he went overseas or he lost all his money. So practically speaking, as a result of the Hazama, the money is not going back. He says, no, Mikol Makom.
Mikol Makom, Mikri Efshar B'Chazara.
Right. Because in these cases, there's still going to be potential for it to be Efshar B'Chazara. Maybe the guy will become wealthy again, or he'll come back. So as long as it's still potentially Efshar B'Chazara, right? So in this line, the Rosh Hash is adding, it doesn't have to be Efshar B'Chazara like Befoel right now. As long as it's potentially Efshar B'Chazara, it's still Nechshav Efshar B'Chazara.
The Efshar B'Chazara,
period. Right? Masha Enke, in the case of Misa, that's Kasher Asa. Once the Nidon is killed, there's no going back. That's real finality. That's real permanence. Now the Rosh Hash is going to add another case. Oh, so what's this new case?
So he dies, and I guess there's no one else to inherit the inherit money.
Right? There's no Yorshim. So this is a case where I think this case is maybe where the Lova, or you know, the person who lost out, I think. Either one, I mean, it doesn't really matter. I mean, either one of the parties died. There are no Yorshim. So this is really a permanent Efshar B'Chazara. So ask the Rosh Hashan himself. In this case, where practically speaking, it's Efshar B'Chazara. In this case, are we going to apply the Ptur of Kasher Asa? He says, not so fast. Very important line. What does the Rosh Hashan mean by that?
So that this is not considered Kasher Asa because, I guess, like he's not dying because of them.
Who are them?
The Edom Zomim.
Exactly. The Edom Zomim didn't cause the Nidon to die.
He happened to have died.
What chilek? What's the Rosh Hash saying? Lemaisa, it's Efshar B'Chazara. And the day, what the Edom, the consequence of the Edom Zomim's Eid Sheker was a permanent, you know, Hefsin Mama. What is this? What is he doing when he says, Ashari, lo ayadam
nes? In order for it to be Kasher Asa, the Zomim needed to do a Maisa, which makes it so that it's impossible for it to ever be, for the punishment to have, the Nidon to ever be reversed.
Exactly. Meaning, exactly, right? Exactly what Yitzhak is saying. So the Rosh Hash is saying, is that when we say that there's no case of Kasher Asa by Mamon, it doesn't mean that, because of Efshar B'Chazara. It doesn't mean that practically speaking, you need to actually have the potential for the money to go back. It's that by Mamon, right, even if it ends up being permanent due to technical factors, those are always going to be external outside factors which make it permanent. But Kasher Asa is only when the permanence of the Kasher Asa is directly a result of the Eid Sheker of the Edom Zomim. And one can say it in more lumdish terms, that the Kasher Asa, according to the Rosh Hash, the Ptur of Kasher Asa, right, in a way is like a shear in the Chomer HaAvera of the Edom Zomim. Again, that when the Edom Zomim's Avera of Eid Sheker not only results in a temporary Hefset, but they result in a permanent hafzid, so then that more chamor avira, we'll see, perhaps is not nitan for the kapara of the onesh. We'll get the details later. But again, the Rosh Hash seems to be saying that the word of kasher asa is that the kasher asa represents a more chamor avira, and therefore the only cases of kasher asa is when the permanence of kasher asa are direct consequence of the Eid Sheker of the Edom Zomim. But in this case of Mammon, where yes, it is Kasher Asa, practically speaking, in the sense that the impact is permanent, but the permanence doesn't come directly from their Eidu Sheker, it comes from an external source of the Nidon happened to die, so then that's not Kasher Asa, because Kasher Asa is only like a shear in the Chomer Avira, and therefore it's only when the permanence stems directly from the Eidu Sheker of the Zomer. But when it comes from a third, from an outside factor, so then that outside factor rendering it permanent doesn't change the Chomer Avira of the Eidim Zomim. Exactly. Darilo Al Yodam is, right? It doesn't change their Eidu Sheker. It doesn't make their Eidu Sheker more Chomer because the Nidon happened to have died afterwards. That's an outside factor. That doesn't change, you know, the Chomer Avira of the Eidim Zomim. Yeah.
So in the case where let's say you say that Reuben owes Shimon, But Shimon, I guess, died in between the time that Reuben owed Shimon and now. So then, in that case, then the Edom Zomim.
Edom Zomim
comes. Edom Zomim comes, and they say that, let's say, in
Reuben.
In Nisan, right? So I guess so Shimon left Reuben, so now Reuben owes Shimon.
Okay.
But a month ago, Shimon died. So now Reuben would be five to pay, I guess, Shimon's Yorshim. Because the money belongs to them. But then there have to be Zomim, so are the Yorshim have to give the money back? Because the Yorshim don't inherit debts, they would only inherit, I guess, the money that he actively has.
Yeah, the who dies? The moving?
Shimon, who is owed this money,
okay,
died before the case, right? Before the case came up. So Reuben would have to pay the Yorshim, right?
Presumably.
But then, if these Edom were found to be Zomim, so are the Yorshim now chayv to pay back Reuben, because I thought the Yorshim don't inherit debts. So they don't have money.
At the end of the day, Reuben was Nifsad.
Right, but is it Shimon's? But do Shimon's kids need to pay that money? Because they wouldn't inherit their father's debts.
Well, it's two separate questions. So it's a separate question whether Shimon has to pay, and a separate question whether Edom Zomim has to pay.
No, but the money would have to go back because that money's not actually owed.
Fine, and that's what you're asking about. But in terms of the Edom Zomim paying, the Edom Zomim have to pay. If you don't hold the Petur of Kasher Asa, then the Edom Zomim are going to have to pay Reuben regardless.
Right, but
you're asking a separate question.
Kids need to get back that money.
Yeah, it's a separate question. Don't need to do with Hazama. No, it just happens to be in that case.
Wouldn't that be a case of that it's not possible to get back?
You're saying if I think they would pay back in that case. Correct. I think they would pay back in that case. Yeah.
Well, this only makes sense kind of with like the Meiri's, I think, because the Meiri's like additional like the
Kavar. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, 100%. We're gonna get this later. Yeah, that Mahalach that it's like a shear in the Chomer Avera only makes sense with the Tom. We'll get back to later that the lack of Onesh is because they don't deserve the Kavar. 100%. Yeah, we'll get back to that later. Yes. So another Achron also discusses this type of issue. What's the other Achron that discusses this? What? The Granat. Right? So the Granat is a slightly different formulation. Let's just try to analyze that quickly. So again, also talking about, you know, I guess the Geder of Efshar B'Chazara and what constitutes Efshar B'Chazara.
Who is the Granat?
Solid Trout.
Huh?
Solid Trout.
Who?
Thank you. Gone. Yeah. Give him. Yeah. Good. Aria, do you have it? CV name out? The beginning he quotes the Rivan, this idea of Efshar B'Chazara. So now he's asking if it's really just because it's technical Efshar B'Chazara, let's say it's a case where it's Efshar B'Chazara.
Yeah.
So don't think it's limited to a case where practically it's actually Efshar B'Chazara. So what do you think he's saying? Practically, what is he saying?
Practically,
based on the Rishash. All right, he says, since in the realm of Mammon, Mammon is generally Efshar B'Chazara, so therefore, that's going to be the din is no Kasher Asa, even if in this particular case, it happens to be Efshar B'Chazara. So the question is, what do you think the pshat is in the Granat? When he says, Mikomokon, why does it matter? Kevin should be Metzius Mammon Efshar B'Chazara. What do you think he's saying? Yeah.
I think it's that, like, even though it doesn't work out in this case, But money in general is transferable and is, and you can move it around.
Therefore,
but,
what?
So therefore, no matter who's chai what, that can always be changed, that can always be reversed.
Whereas, well, but who cares? In this case, it's EF Shabbat Chazar. Why is he saying that the Koveya is Mammon in general and not...
Mammon fundamentally is something that is actually Shabbat Chazar.
When you say fundamentally...
In general, I guess...
No, it's two different words. Yeah.
Okay.
In general and fundamentally are different things.
It is the same point, though.
Okay, what's your point?
In general, money is something that is not a definite thing. That's something that if you change, that can be around.
Okay, but in this case, it's EF Shabbat Chazar, huh? You're on the right track. I just need a little bit.
Okay.
My question is, why does the Granat say that the Koveya, right, for Kasher Asa is Mammon in general and not this particular case?
It's only about like what the Am Zone itself is. It's only an external factor.
Okay, exactly. So maybe this is what you meant when you said fundamentally. Perhaps this is a simin. Again, the most technical way to understand the Granat is that it's simply like a low plug daraisa. Right? That's one way to interpret it. Not so kishmak, but it's like a low plug daraisa. All he's saying is that since mammon in general is efshar b'chazara, the din by mammon is never going to have kasher asa. It's a low plug daraisa of sorts, and we'll see. Then we'll see the Ritzvah. He might have his own type of low plug, daraisa. So it's not. It would be so crazy. So one way to understand the Granat is that he says, it's a low plug. We don't deal on a case-by-case basis. We deal by, the tchum in general. Mammon is generally efshar b'chazara, therefore it's not kasher asa. Therefore, any case is going to have that din. The other way to say it, one more kishmak, is what Mordechai is trying to say, is to understand the Granat, I guess, in light of the Rashash, is that by saying that kevin shem metzius mammon efshar b'chazara, that's saying, therefore, that's a simon, that even if you have a particular case where it's EF Shabbat Chazara, that is not going to be because of the Edom Zomim. Because in terms of what the Edom Zomim, when the Edom Zomim, the direct consequence of the Edo Sheker is a psak in the realm of Mammon, which fundamentally is EF Shabbat Chazara. So that means their psak was not permanent. And if there happens to be a case where it's EF Shabbat Chazara, that is going to be due to an outside external force. So, right, the more lundish way to understand the Granat is the Granat is saying something along the lines of the Rashash, is that the only time, and again, it's still a Chiddush, as Akiva was pointing out before, in terms of maybe the nature and the tam of, the tam of the Ptur of Kasher Asa, but what's coming out, perhaps both Granat and the Rashash, of the Rashash, is that the only time the Kasher Asa is going to be a Ptur, if it's a direct consequence of the Edom Zomim's Avera, because we're assuming that Kasher Asa is a more chamor version of the Avira than the stam case of Kasher Zama. Fine. Okay, good. So Ankan, we'll approach 1a, that the reason why, practically speaking, there's no Ptura of Kasher Asa is because there's no case of Kasher Asa by Mammon, because it's Efshar B'Chazara, and according to both of these Achronim, really, all cases what comes out. All cases are going to end up being Efshar B'Chazara, even if practically it seems to be Efshar B'Chazara, because fundamentally it's Efshar B'Chazara, and therefore in terms of the direct consequence, in terms of the Chumar Avera of what the Edom Zomim directly did, it was Efshar B'Chazara. But now we're going to see, approach 1b, that there is a group of Rishonim who say that no, fundamentally there's no Petur of Kasher Asa by Mammon. What would be the reason for that? Excellent. So the first time we see this is the second day in Tosas Bava Kama. So who had Tosas Bava Kama before? Okay, Akiva, go back to now the Rima.
The Rima Farish, the Lot Sarif Lahai Tan, the Gabi Mamun, the Machai, the Lulu Kaba Kama, Gabi Mamun, Onshim Nadin, Adam Ramagos, Haru, and Naharian, Ainamishim, the Hassam, and Onshim
Nadin. So according to the Rima, it's because technically it's not a case of Kasher. I said, no, it's more fundamental. Right, what is he saying? That fundamentally,
Therefore, we have this
Kalvachomer
that,
if Kasher Zamam is Chayev, then Kalvachomer, Kasher Asa is also Chayev. So, according to the Re, right, he's saying fundamentally, there is no Ptur of Kasher Asa by Mammon, because fundamentally we apply the Kalvachomer that just if you're going to be Chayev, Kasher Zamam, Kol Shekin, Kasher Asa should be Chayev. So, according to this Mahalach, right, fundamentally, there's no Ptur of Kasher Asa in the realm of Mammon. But what is the, and it was referenced a little bit before, a major fundamental assumption of Tosas Yosef is what? Very important. Excellent. Right? This re, right, assumes as a devar pashut that the makor for the tour of kasher asa is ein unshin min adin. And therefore, once the makor is ein unshin min adin, and memela, since by mamon we are unshin min adin, memela, there's not going to be a patur. But the question is, wait a second, aren't there a lot of drashas out there? Kasher zaman lo kasher asa, achiv, all these different things, different versions of it, right? If you hold that those makoros are the real makor for the patur, so then some of them extend over to mamon, and then this Tosos would fall away. The fact that Tosos thinks, right, can say this, he obviously holds that the makor for the patur of kasher asa is the factor of in onshin min adin, and then by mamon, where we say onshin min adin, therefore, the patura is going to fall away. So that is the re. Oh. So the Ramban, again, the Ramban on Beis Mavis, again, doesn't explain his reason, but the Ramban also says, again, this is Ramban on the Gemara we read yesterday. Again, which Gemara is the Ramban commenting on? Exactly. Right? The Gemara on Beis Mavis, right? Because the Gemara is trying to explain what, Mordechai?
Exactly, right.
Shita's Rabbi Kiva is that Hazama is a Kenas, right? And the question is, how do you know it's a Kenas? Why isn't it Zachiyah Mamon? So what's the Raya that it's a Zachiyah Kenas? Exactly, the Chiddush is, because even if you didn't end up causing the Hafsid, you were just Zomim, you're just planned to cause the Hafsid, you're even Chayiv, that must be a Kenas. So the question is the implication from that Gemara that it's only in that case where the mamon is still biad bailam, or is it also in that case? So what? How does the Ramban learn?
It's not only in that case.
It's the Chiddush is also in that case. Is that since it's even when it's mamon biad bailam, that's a proof to a kenas. But in a chanami, even if there was a tashlumim kasher asa, right, there still would be, the Dinu Hazama would apply, because again, the Ramban holds, there's no Petur of Kasher Asa by Mama. But the Ramban himself doesn't explain why he holds this way.
He
says it doesn't apply, but he doesn't explain, is that because it's every case is considered Kasher Asa, or is it because the Din doesn't apply? But which Rishon explains Pshat in the Ramban? What? But more specifically, the Rash from Babakama. The Rashbam Baba Kama says that the Pshat in the Ramban is that they hold like the Re. That the whole basis of the Ptur is Ein Onshin Min Adin. And therefore, by Mammon, where we say Onshin Min Adin, right, that's why the Ptur doesn't apply. So the Rashba in Baba Kama on Hayom and Aleph again explains that the Ramban is like approach 1b, like the Re, that fundamentally the Ptur of Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Mammon because we hold of Onshin Minadin. So that's the Rashba, at least Bishem, the Ramban. Yeah.
But didn't Rabbi just said that the Re is assuming that the Makar is for Kasher Asa is Ancient Onshin Minadin, and therefore by Mammon
fundamentally that Petur doesn't apply.
Rabbi said it would fall off. So
yeah, because fundamentally that Petur doesn't apply by Mammon, because Mammon we say Onshin Minadin.
I see Rabbi saying that Onshin Minadin falls off, meaning it falls off that we don't apply it.
Yeah, I mean, the Petur falls away, and therefore Memela you're Chayev.
So you are Chayev.
Yeah, you are Chayev. There's no Petur, and therefore you're Chayev.
But didn't Rabbi say that he agrees with those who say that it doesn't apply to Mammon?
Meaning, the Petur, it's a little confusing. The Petur doesn't apply, therefore you're Chayev.
Okay.
Right? Meaning, because Kasher Asa is a Petur Hazama. So if the Petur doesn't apply, and the Edom Zomim were going to be Chayev even when there was a Tashlum.
Right, okay.
You get the Cheshvan now, but it can be a little confusing. Okay, good. But the Rashi from Baba Kama says, not only is this Pshat in the Ramban, it's also Pshat in who else? Can you remember? Rabbi Hanano. It's interesting. It could confirm our earlier analysis. Right? Slightly different. The Rashi says, not only does the Ramban hold, right, that the Pshat of Kasher Asa fundamentally doesn't apply to Mamon. There's also Pshat in the Rach. The question is, the Rach doesn't really say this. What is the only Rach that he could be referring to?
The one we saw.
It's a Medayah. Cheshbet it out. How does the Rach's Pshat in the Gemara by Malchus going to affect the Mamon?
The Rach learns out Enoch Shemin Adin, like that. The Gemara is applying that to Malchus and also by Gullus, but Gemara doesn't apply that to also to Mamonos. Therefore, since the Gemara will do that, we don't learn Enoch Shemin Adin to the Mamonos, therefore, Enoch Shemin Adin doesn't apply.
Okay, good. Is there
going
to...
I was going to say.
Okay, you just add to it a little bit, or say in your own words?
You need
a Makar. What?
You need a Makar to be
Amy. Yeah. Okay, I guess you're all saying the same thing. Meaning that it's very clear, I was going to say it a little differently, but very clear from the Rach, that the Rach holds that what is the Makor of the Petura Kasher Asa? Enon Shemin Adin. That's the key, right? The key to the Re... The key to this mahalach is that the makor for the patur is Enon Shemin Adin. You see from the Rach's understanding of the Shach V'Torah, right, that the makor of the patur kasher asa is Enon Shemin Adin, and that's how he learns that that's Pshat in the Gemara, and that's why the Gemara is applying the patur of is extending the patur of kasher asa to Malkus when it asks about extending Enon Shemin Adin to Malkus. By the same token, right? By Mammon, this is what Mordechai and Eli were saying, but by Mammon, where we say, On Shemin Adin, if you think that the Makur for Tur Kasher Asa is in On Shemin Adin, Mimela, the Rach is going to hold that by Mammon, On Shemin Adin, and therefore fundamentally there's no Petur. Yeah.
Where did he see Aramaic that it's totally on the On Shemin Adin?
You're right. It's not Mefurish, but I'm suggesting, and this is the way everyone understands the Rach, is that the reason why the Rach, right, the basis of the Rach's understanding of Chavi Malchus Minayin is basically, and how do we know that the Petur of Kasher Asa applies to Malchus? You're right. That's not Mefurish in the Rach, but that's the implication that everyone's inferring from the Rach. That by talking about Enon Shemin Adin, right, that it's not just talking about Chavi Malchus Minayin Enon Shemin Adin, it's in the Sugya, and therefore the Petur of Kasher Asa, right? Once you have that added, and you're 100% right, but once you have that added Nekuda that's implicit, that Enon Shemin Adin is the basis of the Petur of Kasher Asa, so then Mimela, you know that by Mammon, where it's Enon Shemin Adin, there's not going to be a Petur of Kasher Asa. I think that's Pshat in the Rashba. Unless there is some magical, Rach out there. Presumably he's referring to this Rach, and what's coming out, again, it confirms our earlier analysis, that the Re, right, everyone in approach 1B must be holding that the Makur of Kasher Asa is Enon Shemin Adin. And that's what's coming out of the Rachs.
Also, yeah. You don't have to go like to such a cheshbon for the Rashba to understand that the Rach believes that, because he just doesn't mention it. So if he doesn't mention it anywhere, and
but to say that this is Pshat on the Rach Makos.
No, meaning if he only mentions that the things that go like Kasher Zom and Kasher Asa are Malchus and Mammon, Malchus and Misa, therefore Mistama, unless he mentions it somewhere else, Mistama and Misa is not under that.
Okay, meaning you're saying the Raya is from like omission, but like it sounds stronger than that. The lashon of the of the Rashba over here, ching kasav rach b'makos, sounds like it's.
Seeing it must be written out.
It sounds like it's more mefurish than that. It's not just like omission. Oh, the Rach doesn't say that. A lot of people don't say. Sounds like it's more mefurish. Sounds like the famous rach is pshat l'shach v'tarya.
If you could say that the second kaf is kavanas, but.
Same idea. Okay, good. So we have, so far we have, again, first mahalach, overall, is that the Petura Kasher Asa doesn't apply to Mammon. We have two versions of it, right? 1A is that for technical reasons, because there's no case of Kasher Asa, but fundamentally it would have. 1B is that, no, fundamentally Kasher Asa doesn't, the Petura doesn't apply, begin again, because the, assuming that the basis of the Petura so Enon Shemin Adin, then by Mammon, fundamentally that Petura doesn't apply because we hold up Enon Shemin Adin. So now let's see, please, we can only see the first one, but there are going to be several Rishonim. We only saw one, not today in Seder. There's one Rishon who says, no, the Pitur of Kasher Asa does apply to Mama. Who is that Shita? The Ritzvah. So let's see the Ritzvah inside, because there are a number of important nekudos that come out of the Ritzvah. So again, this is the Ritzvah on, right, this is Beis Mavez, right? Beis Mavez, Zir Masl Teda, halfway through, where he starts with the Ikam Mirabosenu, the Ritzvah has a very interesting mahalach to justify how you apply Kasher Asa to the realm of Mamon. And there are going to be several mechudosh assumptions to the Ritzvah. Do you have it? Avidan, do you have it? Oh, what's that? Avidan, take it yourself. See, Ikam Mirabosenu.
That even where you have the money and you give it back, why don't the Yidin also pay, right? It should be like they didn't do anything. Ella Shizom Mulaz. Rather, they
try to do something. So it should be like Kasher Asa. Well, this idea of like the Efshe B'Chazar. In the case of Efshe B'Chazar, it's as if it's not Kasher Asa. Oh. Exactly, just like that. See, it's the realm of Kasher Zama below Kasher Asa, because Efshe B'Chazar, and it's as if there's no impact. Oh. There's a venerally.
Venerally, the Halita.
Napsha. Very important. Right? What's his gedder of Kasher Asa? Not up until now, we've been assuming that Kasher Asa refers to type of like permanence, finality, right? Says no. Kasher Asa is that there was no impact at all. I mean Kasher Zama below Kasher Asa say that the din of Zama is only when there was no Maisa at all. I'll pee at the Eidim Zoma. Right?
Kasher Zama below Kasher Asa.
As long as there was a psak din that caused a tashlumen, right, to cause the a mishalim, that is begeder kasher asa. So again, nekuda number one, we'll repeat this later, is that he says this constitutes kasher asa, even though it's not permanent. The geder of kasher asa is not permanent, it's rather whether there was any action done al pi the psak, or was there no action at all? So he gets himself in trouble in a way, because if you were to apply right the tour of kasher asa to mamon, presumably you would say no, don't say the makor is einon shemin adin, and then you can say oh, it's what the makor really is, one of those gzeiros akasuvs, and the gzeiros akasuv extends. That's the easiest way to say it. But the Ritva says no, even I agree that the Makor is in on Shemin Adin, and I'm still going to explain why it extends to Mamon. How? So what is the Ritva in essence saying?
That since we apply Kasher Zom Vol Kasher Asa regarding killing people, we apply regarding everything.
Exactly. You can call it a low plug, however, a low plug de Raisa, right? Exactly, a low pierce let's southern, if you want to use that, if you want to stay away from the Lashon, a low plug. Right? So the Ritzvah is saying a number of things, right? The Ritzvah is saying, number one, right, that just, what he's saying, then we'll break it down. He's saying that just like there's a Petur of Kasher Asa, by Misa, that's going to carry over to Mamon, to have the din, the Petur of Kasher Asa, and even a case which is Efshir B'Tashlumim, that's also considered Kasher Asa. Because Kasher Asa is any time there was something L'maisa done, I'll pee the Gemar din, that's going to be Begeder Kasher Asa. So let's just now isolate three important assumptions of the Ritzvah here. So assumption number one is that there's a single din of Kasher Zamam for all Tchumim. That's obvious, that's obvious, right? The fact that he says, oh, that Misa and Mamon have to have the same din, because lo pirish, number one, lo chilka Torah, and she'in a pasuk pirish l'tzadim, assumption number one is that there's one din of Kasher Zamam for all realms, Misa, Mamon, Malkus, it's all one din of Kasher Zamam. Obviously, if you rejected that assumption, nothing would get off the table. Right? If you reject that assumption and says, oh, there's a Kasher Zamam for Misa, which is separate from the Kasher Zamam of Mamon, so then you would say, Einon Shemin Adin, Einon Shemin Adin. Right? It wouldn't get off the first. So assumption number one, that there's a single din of Kasher Zamam for all different tchumim. Assumption number one. Assumption number two is that even if you assume there's one din, right, the question is which direction does it go? Because on the one hand, Mamon says on Shimin Adin, and Misa is in on Shimin Adin. So assumption number one dictates it has to be one din. But the question is, so which one is it going to be Koveya? Mamon or Misa? So assumption number two is that the Kasher Zamam of Misa is Iker. Because Kasher Zamam of Misa is Iker, that is going to be Koveya, the din, and then the Kasher Zamam of Mamon, which is Tafel, is going to basically be, you know, dragged along to the dinam of Kasher Zamam of Misa. So again, those are two different assumptions, because even if you accept assumption number one that it's one din, you still don't know, so which tchum is going to be Koveya? Because the tchum of Mamon, where we say Onshim in Adin, is going to be a different Koveya than Misa. So assumption number two is that not only, right, assumption number one is that there's one din, assumption number two is that the Kasher Zamam of Misa is primary. And the question is, where does the Ritzvah get that from? He doesn't explain. Anybody? Yeah?
Yes, I mean, I was going to say, I don't think it's a big assumption, but yeah. once you have the first assumption, then you have to say that based on the Mishnah on Ham Vav.
No, but that's reconstructing. But I'm saying, but from the Torah's perspective, why is it? I mean, you're right, once you're going backwards, that's reconstruction. But I'm saying, fundamentally, where according to the Ritzvah, how can you come up with this whole pshat? So I think it comes earlier in the Mishnah, it comes in the Psukim. If you look at the Psukim, right, going back to the Psukim, suggesting that it's very clear from the Psukim themselves that the Iker Kasher Zamam is by Misa. Go back to, again, Dvarim Yutes. Vasisim lo Kasher Zamam lasas la'achiv. Anybody know how the pasuk finishes? Ubiarta harab mikirbecha. Already, biarta harab mikirbecha is kill the person. And so already from the first pasuk, which introduces Kasher Zamam, you see that the Iker Kasher Zamam is a biarta harab mikirbecha, is the realm of Misa. And two psukim later, it says lo sachos einecha, and this is where it extends to different realms. But look at the order: first is nefesh b'nefesh, then it's ayin ba'ayin, shein b'shein, yad b'yad, regel b'regel. So again, suggesting that for the Ritzvah, that it starts off b'nefesh b'nefesh, again indicating from the psukim that the Iker Kasher Zamam is the Misa, and that's where the Ritzvah could say that once it's all one din, so then you're going to then say that which tchum is going to be called Koveya? The tchum which is Koveya is the tchum of Misa, just one hour because we're running out of time. And the third assumption, which you referenced before, is the Gedder of Kasher Asa. His Gedder of Kasher Asa is that it's not permanent. It's rather that there was any lemaisa, ramifications to your psak. Because again, if the Ritzvah thought that the Gedder Kasher also is permanent, then he can have the whole Shtikl Torah, that fundamentally there should be a din of Kasher also, but you can still say the Riva. Fundamentally there is a Torah, but practically speaking, there's no case of Kasher also. So the fact that the Ritzvah not only says that fundamentally there's a Torah, because of this low plug, because of the low... but also Lamaisa, there's going to be a Nafkamina, there's going to be a Petur, because he holds that the Gedder of Asa is not permanence, but rather any time there is a Maisa. Right? And the only time that they're going to have Azama is the Lashon of the Ritva, Kishilo Asu Maisa Klal. But once there's any, Lamaisa, consequence to your Azama, that's already the Gedder Kasher Asa. So we'll stop here, and then we'll pick up tomorrow. And Akiva, I'll take you out on the way up.